Devonport's my work in the late 60s, early 80s. I went a bit quiet because my second marriage in the 80s and my second child. There's a lot more clubs, the colleges as well, which was great because they all used to put on bands. The old art college used to put on bands. I done one at the actual art college itself, just over the bridge by the castle. But we had a lot of church halls that was going. I started off the Bosco Church Hall, where the Pieces of Mind recorded their album. And I used to use St. Willis Church Hall. The only thing was that these places didn't have bears in them. We got around that with people bringing their own and even having one, two bottles on hand. And but otherwise, I just tried different venues like the Dolman Theatre. They'd only had one band that played there previously. That was Steel Ice Band, were basically a folk band, but they turned electric, like Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And when Kevin Ayers and the Whole World played there, they insisted I had their doorman and I paid for their doorman, but apparently it was too low for them. Even though they turned down their hearing aids, they'd left their post and people got into the venue free, which was a shame. But I did try quite a few venues because there was quite a lot of them. The Alex was one of the best, but I caught the ass end of it. It belonged or was owned by someone from Cardiff at the time, and I wasn't aware that they was closing down. So I only managed to put on half a dozen gigs there before they closed down and I had to move on again. Or it would be the venue would moan about it, the committee would say it was too loud, this, that and the other, and then I'd have to move on. One time I approached the Betis Social Club, which is probably the biggest venue left in Newport now, and at the time I was going to put on Gary Glitter. I got it all arranged, booked, contract signed, everything okay with the committee. I was let down at the last minute by the committee. For what reason exactly, I can't remember, a long time ago. So I had to try and rearrange it, and the only venue I could get was the Roundabout. And but not for the same date. And the date that I could get it for, Mr. Glitter wasn't available. Well, I'm glad to see he wasn't now, actually. But there you go, that's by the by. And but I still wanted to put on a glitter band, so I got the... Gary was number one in the Glitters, but the number two was the Suite. And I had the Suite, and I'm glad I did put on the Suite. They were absolutely fabulous. They didn't have much of a set to play, because they was into their first or second single at the time. So they done a lot of Who covers, and they'd done them better than the Who. I mean, another band I had at St. Willis Church Hall was a band called Egg, a three-piece band. It was great. They turned up very early. And so we all went next door into the park, next door, and played football till the gig started. And, you know, you just make the most of it. I mean, it's just like going to a factory or somewhere else to them, you know, like it's just turning up for work, isn't it? And you just try to make the most of it. And we had a game of football that night, that day. When I... at Kevin Ayers and the Whole World at the Dolman Theatre, the electrics went down about 15 minutes into the gig, and there was a lot of mess about, couldn't find the electrics or sort them out, whatever. So the saxophonist stepped forward, Lord Coxall, and entertained the crowd with the sax, and he was absolutely fabulous. The crowd loved him. They would have been happy if just Lord Coxall had turned up. And he told me he used to busk in London at the time, and he could earn £100 a day. And that was 1970. But that was one incident that where we had a support act, where we didn't have a support act, if you know what I mean. One of the main venues for put-on bands at the time was the Kensington Court Club, over in Kensington Place, just to the other side of the George Street Bridge. just off Chepstow Road. Are you aware of that venue?
Yeah, we've heard about it a lot.
Yeah. Right, that's where I seen Screaming Lord Sutch and Hackensack and a lot of other bands. I used to live just across the road from it, but I couldn't get to the venue too often because I was busy myself. But I've seen Focus play there. Well, it's like a big old mansion there, a house type building type thing, and it had downstairs where they used to have the main bands, and they had upstairs where they had a disco, which was more or less for the disco lights and whatever. But it wasn't a big venue. I mean, one band turned away from there when they turned up because they said the stage was too small and the roof was too low. On a Thursday night, they used to have all the up-and-coming bands like, Brian Ferry's first band, Roxy Music and things. And it was the most influential rock place at the time. And also, I think someone had to do with it from the Kensington Core Club, the Bullmore Lido, just outside Killeen. They used to have bands playing out there. Like Good Abbott and the Racing Cars and Albert, the band I managed, and things like that. That was a good venue for a while before it closed down again. I don't know why they all closed down, because they was well frequented back in the day. And there's not so much life in Newport now, so back in the day, they was always pretty busy. There wasn't much trouble at all, although Newport has got a bad reputation for trouble. I've probably seen, I could count the fights I've seen in the last 50 years on my one hand. The Newport Athletic Club, I've seen one or two fights. The Betis Club, where I've seen the Amen Corner playing out there one night. Because they had a Newport member with them, the Amen Corner. The sax player was Alan Jones. Yeah. And he also had another band after Amen Corner, and he also had a boutique in Newport called Clobber, and a boutique in Cardiff, Garage Paradise or something.
Okay.
And he's still about now promoting. Most bands he was okay, but one or two had riders. Like the biggest rider I ever had was for a Nine Below Zero, when I had them play at the Stowey. I was the DJ at the Stowey, but I only ever promoted one band at the Stowey, and that was Nine Below Zero. And they had one of the biggest riders, and it cost me a hell of a lot of money, because there was vegans in the band, there was meat eaters, there was connoisseurs of drinks, and there was others that wanted water. And it was one of the biggest and most expensive riders I had to lay on. Lucky enough, not too many of them had riders, and I certainly remember the Nine Below Zero one, because it was expensive, and like I said, they was fussy with their food and their drinks, and wanted quite a bit of it. I think there's seven in the band anyway, you know. I had to wind up in the end as well, like, as at the roundabout was the last gig I did. That was with Slaughter and the Dogs from Manchester. Only six people turned up. They was demanding their money before they went on. I said, I haven't got it, and pre-mobile phones and everything like that. So it was hard to get older people that I could have got money off. So anyway, they was hustling me for the money, and I said, we've got a contract and it says you'll do 60 minutes and then I'll pay you the £100. It doesn't say I'll pay you £100 and then you do the gig. I said, if you want to be funny, I'll be funny. So they went on, done a half hour, and come back off and said, we won the money. I said, I'll give you half the money, you've done half the gig. Because I was frantically phoning around people, trying to get older people, which wasn't easy then, pre-mobiles. And we was arguing about the money, and one of the six people out of the audience went running past me. I turned around, and he's grappling with the roadie on the floor, who had a metal bar in his hand, who was just about to put it over my head. So he saved my life that night, I think, and I managed to get the money, but I made them finish their hour set first. So that was a memorable gig.